Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome and God bless you. You're listening to Perspectives on the Bible. It's April 28th. I'm your host, Pastor Fred. Today we're going to be looking at Who is This Jesus, the ninth segment of a program dealing with Who is This Jesus. And before we begin the actual program, I'd like to just have a little introductory music from the Brothers of Faith. The Brothers of Faith, and the song is Faith, Hope, and Courage. And then I'll be right back. And I'm back. Thank you for waiting. I'm very excited about today's program. I hope you will, too. We're going to jump right into the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts, if you have your Bible with you. And we're going to be looking at the ascension of Jesus. And primarily, we're going to start right away at verse 3. Verse 3. After his suffering, we're talking about Jesus here. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift from my Father, which he promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It's a wonderful beginning of the resurrection reality. I've talked in previous programs about this new reality, is that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead introduces the disciples and introduces all of us for all time into a new reality. And the time after Jesus has revealed to us that what we thought was the truth and everything was included in that truth was not complete. And that Jesus completes that reality and gives us a new vision, a scientific vision, and a vision of reality beyond time and space, outside of what we can see and hear and touch, beyond that. And this new resurrection reality is a new viewpoint. And so when we turn to verse 6, it says, "So, after hearing these things, they met together, and they asked the Lord, 'Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" And this is a reaffirmation, verse 6 of the book of Acts, a reaffirmation of what Jesus has been telling them all along. "You have not understood, but please be involved in the new development. Remember, reflect, recall, share, consider what you have experienced. Put it inside of a new container. And use that new container with new definitions to explain to the world what resurrection reality is all about." Because Jesus is going to now, at this point in the book of Acts, introduce them to a new reality beyond the resurrection reality, which is the Holy Spirit reality. Jesus is going to give them a gift. And this gift is going to be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a completely new reality above and beyond just the resurrection reality. And this reality is available to every single person. And what makes it so wonderful, you see, is if you think of your body is restricted. Your body is limited. Your body cannot be in two places at one time. It cannot pass through items. This table here in front of me, if I bang on it with my fist will get hurt because I can't pass through the table. But there are other realities above and beyond that, outside of time and space. And the Holy Spirit is part of that outside of time and space reality that enters into time and space, just as Jesus did. Jesus, in the incarnation of Jesus by the Virgin Mary when he was born as a human being, is outside of time and space. He enters into time and space and becomes a human being. And then he shows us that he's able to return outside of time and space to travel in between these two realities. And now the Holy Spirit is given to us as an affirmation while we have a body, that while in the body, we can experience the new reality of outside of time and spaceness, so that we don't have to wait until we die to go to heaven. We can have heaven right now. We can experience within ourselves the indwelling of this magnificent spiritual being who can dwell inside of us, and we can dwell inside of him, and in that way we can experience the new reality. So what happens then? Jesus leaves them, of course. He says in verse 9 and 10 and 11, he leaves them. And when he leaves them, it says, after this he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Now this cloud that we're experiencing here has various meanings, but the point of it is that once Jesus ascends, once Jesus takes his body back, and isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus takes his body, his bones, his blood, his heart, his stomach, all that good stuff. He takes it in a new form called the resurrection form, but he takes it with him. So he's Jesus right now, right as we're talking, he has a body. And when you talk to Jesus about your body, he understands that because he has one. It wasn't that he left it behind and put off this mortal coil, as we talk about it. He took his body with him, and that is part of the promise. Part of the promise is that we will have a resurrected body, identifiable body, just like we have now, but perfected. If we live with the Lord, we die with the Lord. If we die with the Lord, we shall live with the Lord. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He is one for all ages. And he is ours for all ages. And he says to us, do not worry about that body of yours. Take care of it. Go to doctors. Go to hospitals. Don't abuse it. But after it is buried, it will have a resurrected existence with me, if you're with me. Now, if you're not with me, well, that's a different story. But if you're with me, I will call you forth from the grave, even as I called Lazarus. But Lazarus died again, even as I called the widow of Nain's son. But he died again, even as I called Jairus' daughter. But she died again. But when I, Jesus, call you now, the Christian faithful, out of the grave, you will have a new body, a new experience, the perfection of experience with me in heaven. So this is a wonderful gift. Now, this cloud, which keeps Jesus from our eyes now, is going to be solved with something else. So what they say here is, first, that they were looking intently up into the sky to see where he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. And they said, don't look up at the sky at Jesus. Don't try to get back what was before. Don't worry about what was before. You're going to move into the future. You're going to move into the future. Life lived with Jesus is a life lived in the Holy Spirit, and it is a life lived in the fellowship of faith. And one of the promises of this life in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is that you're going to be moving into the future. God is not only a God of the present, he is a God of the future. And God is in the future, and we move into the future. And when we move into the future, we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow or the future in any way, because tomorrow is a new day, and in that new day is not fear, but hope. In that new day is not terror, but the promise that God is ahead of us, beckoning us into the future. You see, people sometimes say, like with science, let's use that as an example, they have to be afraid of, don't be afraid of science. Science is something that God has given us as a gift, and we don't have to be afraid of where it takes us. It takes us into the future. It's not science per se, it's what people do with science and the philosophy that people spin out of science that is the negative part of it. But science, which is the discovery of new knowledge and new things, is a gift from God, and we move into the future with science, and this future is not to be afraid of. We don't have to be afraid of that because God is the master of the future, and we can easily move into that future. Okay, let's go on with the book. Now, in Acts, we follow up there in Acts verse 12. It says, then after Jesus is hidden from their eyes, after he ascends, it says the apostles, verse 12 of Acts 1, return to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, and they, when they arrive, they go up into the upper room where they had been staying, and they were together, Peter and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and they were all joined together in prayer, along with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is a wonderfully important thing that I want to just introduce to you. Life lived with Jesus is lived in the fellowship of faith. It's lived in the fellowship of faith. It's not lived all by yourself. You're not a loner. You're a person who is in the community of faith, which is known as the church. And I want to be very clear about that. Christianity and the church are one and the same thing. The people are the church. And I hear a lot of people who are against the Roman Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or just the church as an institution. But they say, but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, I would suggest to you that you cannot do that. I would suggest to you that the Bible clearly states that the apostles and the Christians and the believers are gathered together. They all join together, verse 14, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, people will say to me, well, yes, that's true, but I can do that in my home. I don't have to go out. Well, maybe if you're crippled. Maybe if you're homebound, maybe if you're old, maybe if you can't get out, fine and dandy. If you're listening to this program, that's fine and dandy. I'm not going to put my own program down. However, the Bible talks about being together in a fellowship of faith together. Being able, it isn't that they're, you know, in different places in town and they're all together spiritually. They're together physically. Now, we continue on with that with an internal renewal. An internal renewal. And that's verse 21 of the book of Acts, chapter 1, where the apostles reconstitute themselves. They aren't going to go off and disintegrate into individualism. You know, me and my God, you and your God, John, you and your God, Mark, you and your Lord, Matthew, you and your Master, Thaddeus, or whatever. No, it's together, together. Jesus is the Lord of the church, which he has left behind as his witness. The church is the witness. And when people who claim to be Christians don't support the church, they abandon Jesus. I'm going to be bold about that. They abandon Jesus because Jesus has left us the church as his witness. And when we leave the church, when we abandon the church, when we say that I can be an individual lone Christian, I would suggest to you strongly that it's not a biblical fact. The Bible says that they would gather together with each other in prayer and the like more. And then if we go on to chapter 2, we see more of that. This is an after the Pentecost experience. They receive the Holy Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, we read these words, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to learning from each other, to the Eucharist, to the Holy Communion. We talked about that. We talk about that in new programs. The breaking of bread and to prayer together. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonderful things that the apostles did. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, it talks about selling a property. We'll talk about that some other time. But the point I want to make very strongly here is that they were together in a fellowship of faith. And if you want to know this new reality, and if you want to experience this new reality, I'm going to make some suggestions at the end of the show, but I think you know what some of them are going to be, and that is that joining together with other Christians in knowing the Lord Jesus is very much a part of getting into this new reality and experiencing this new reality for yourself. I'm going to just pause here for a moment, and we're just going to listen to a little bit more of that wonderful song by the Brothers of Faith, and I'll be right back. Please stay and listen on. Back, and thank you very much for continuing to listen. We're going to go on from here now into the third chapter of the book of Acts, the next thing, in answer to the question, what are the promises of a faith lived in the Holy Spirit? And we're going to be reading this section. I'll read it as quickly as I can because we don't have that much time. But it says, one day Peter and John, this is chapter 3 of the book of Acts, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And now a man who was lame, that's a very important piece, from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him and said, as did John, and then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the lame man who used to sit begging at the temple gate Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, in answer to the question, what is the result, the promise of faith in the Holy Spirit, life lived in the faith of the Holy Spirit, and I would suggest to you that the placement of this story in the book of Acts is extremely important. It comes right after the Pentecost experience. It comes right after the establishment of the church fellowship. It comes right after the teaching and preaching and Eucharist. And it gives you your first indication of many indications of what it means to have be in the fellowship of faith and to live a life in the Holy Spirit. And that is healing. Healing. This man was lame and he's healed from his lameness. And he has been lame from birth. So I think let's just deal with that in a moment. Lameness is an infirmity. It's an imperfection. It's an incompleteness, as you will. And the man had it from birth. So he's saying here, not previous believers or people born into the Christian faith, because there is no such thing, and people born into Christian families, but any person, anywhere, or no matter what their condition, no matter whether they've been lame in terms of spiritual life, from their birth, they can be healed. And one of the benefits and one of the gifts of life in the Holy Spirit is healing, healing. And now the man thinks, well, I can get the money from them because that's what the world has offered him. The world has offered him all kinds of amelioration, all kinds of comfort for his lameness. And we do this all the time. I'll just talk about it in the psychological realm with people who are upset or anxiety-ridden or various and sundry and various ailments and diseases. We offer them all kinds of amelioration. We offer them aspirin, you know what I'm saying? Or we offer them money or whatever we're going to offer them. But the scripture says that you can be made whole. You can be complete. I like to use here a quote from a man named St. Augustine of Hippo, one of the great Western Christian leaders in the early part of the church's history. St. Augustine of Hippo said, our hearts, O Lord, yearn for you, and they are empty until they are filled with you. Or to use another way of saying it, We are a puzzle of 1,000 pieces, and there's one piece missing, and the puzzle is not complete until that one piece is placed into the puzzle. And that one piece that's placed into the puzzle is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who through belief in Him and the gift of the Holy Spirit can heal us from all lameness. And so they say to him, look at us, pay attention to us, what we have to say. It's not magic. And he says, silver, verse 6 of chapter 3 of Acts, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There is only one name. There is only faith in one name. There is only belief in one person that can bring us this healing, and that's the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. Then they took him by the right hand, and they lifted him up, and they said, stand up and walk. And instantly the man was able to be strengthened and walk. And that's what's going to happen to those who have faith in Jesus, that the promise is to you that Jesus wants to heal you in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, and your spiritual being. And I want to say here is that I affirm, I want you to hear this, I affirm physical healing. I affirm physical healing. What I think happens oftentimes is that, sadly, people wait until, you know, they have something like cancer and it's riddled all over their body. Every organ is filled with cancer. Or they wait until they've had their fifth heart attack. And they've been eating all kinds of terrible stuff, or whatever the problem is, and then they turn to God. You know, I would suggest to you that a person of faith who lives inside of faith and lives in communion with the Holy Spirit and is in constant communication with the Holy Spirit, that throughout their life they are being healed of a variety, that people of faith are being healed of a variety of illness that may, and oftentimes would, lead to further illness and more serious illness, but it's healed along the way. You know, their heart is healed along the way. Their limbs are healed along the way. Their brain is healed along the way. Their stomach is healed along the way because the Holy Spirit does this healing along the way. And holding up until the very end, you know, is like the boy who says, well, I have faith in God, so I'm going to go stand in front of a freight train that's coming at me at 90 miles an hour, and I know that God is going to stop the freight train. Well, let's be realistic, folks. If you're standing in front of a freight train at 90 miles an hour, it's going to run you over and kill you. That's what's going to happen. But you can ask God to keep you from such foolishness. You can ask God, because people are foolish, and they do all kinds of foolish things. We only have to look at the lifestyles that we live to see the foolishness that we live. And the life of faith helps us to be healed in the Holy Spirit along the way. Now, I'm running to the close of this program, so I have much more I want to share with you tomorrow. And tomorrow will be another program, the 10th program, on who is this Jesus, and we'll be continuing with the idea of what is this life of faith. But I'd like to just introduce to you some of the things you may be seeing on your screen. And that is some books that are related to what I have been talking to you about. And you can look at this as a plug or not. But let me just use the first one here, Why Faith Matters. You may be seeing that pop up on your screen. It's by the Rabbi David Volpe. And this is a wonderful, wonderful book. I encourage you to get it. This is a book that has brought me a tremendous amount of joy. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit when reading this book. This is a book, I'll just read you a little bit on the back cover. Rabbi Volpe takes his readers through the nature of religion, popular misunderstandings of the relationship of religion, violence, and progress. Let me just say in reading this book, it's been a wonderful book. Rabbi Volpe experienced cancer himself, and he turns to God. And I think he concludes with a powerful argument against the call for the end of religion. So if you're a religious leader, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're listening to this program and you have a program of your own, I strongly encourage you to click on or buy, go to the store and buy it, Why Faith Matters by David Volpe. And the other book that's probably in front of you is the book by Pope Benedict. And it's called Jesus of Nazareth. I strongly, please, I want you to hear me. I cannot say enough about this book. This book is a giant work. It's a giant work. It's Benedict, who is now the Pope, and also known as Cardinal Ratzinger, but it's Joseph Ratzinger's search for the face of Jesus. It's a personal search for the face of Jesus, but not just his opinions. It's based on scholarship. It's based on the church history. It's based on tradition. It's based upon theology and doctrine. It's based on good, sound reasoning. It's based on doubt and faith. And it's based, I believe, on his own personal enlightenment concerning this Jesus. And much of what I said in these programs and much of what I will say in the future programs has some basis in the book Jesus of Nazareth by Pope Benedict. And if you wanted to click on that and get it, because excellent, excellent books. And if you're a teacher, a preacher, if you have your own program, this book will inform you. And if you're not, if you're just a listener who's looking for the face of Jesus, who wants to understand who this Jesus is, I cannot recommend this book enough. Jesus of Nazareth by Pope Benedict. A really, really good book. Now, I would like to just continue on with the program a little bit before we come to our ending. And that is to say, well, people might ask, well, how can I get into a relationship with Jesus Christ? And first of all, I would like to say to you that we have evidence of that in the book of Acts. And basically, it comes from Peter's speaking to the people. He said, therefore, he tells them, and the people said, verse 37 of chapter 2 of book of Acts, verse 37, chapter 2, book of Acts. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brethren, what must we do? And he tells them, repent. Now, the first thing I want to say about that, and the concluding minutes here, is first, Peter says to them, you have to want it. You have to want it. No one who doesn't want Jesus is not going to force himself on you. You're not going to come to a knowledge of this new reality, and you're not going to come to a knowledge of resurrected life, and you're not going to come to an experience of the gift of the Holy Spirit unless you can get into this whole thing about who is this Jesus in terms of wanting it. Now, wanting it means that you get into an experience of faith with Jesus. Secondly, and excuse that ringing in the background, you have to want to understand that we're talking about a reality that enters into you. It's not a proof to your mind. It's not a scientific axiom. It's not a maxim. You can't dig it up out of the ground. It is rather a experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, with this walking in the Holy Spirit, you have to get information. You know, people want to believe things without information. So I suggest to you that first of all, you want to desire it, you want to have a knowledge of it, and then you want to walk with the Bible. And lastly, you want to talk spiritually with Jesus. And we're going to be talking about that in future programs, how we can enter, what are the methodologies, what are the ways in which people can enter into a faith relationship with Jesus. And it's available to anyone and everyone. I'm very excited about that possibility. I hope you'll be listening to further programs and future programs as we look into answers in the question of how can we get this? What are the methods in which we can get this? But in the meantime, I encourage you to listen to these programs and other programs on Blog Talk Radio that deal with the issue, and I hope that you'll find this new resurrection, this new reality of resurrection life, fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much for listening, and let's just close with our Brothers of Faith logo music. Thank you very much, and be seeing you soon. All your sins on the table.
forgiveness from God.